Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Blog Talk Radio, you got the one, you got the only. This is Uncle Billy. This is Uncle Billy. And tonight's show is the beginning of the rest of my relationship with my young nephews in the hip hop world. Uncle Billy is live, y'all, and if he calls in, great. He's one of my young entrepreneur nephews. He's always got something going on. Man, do I remember the day. Yes, Lord. So he's got all the respect that I can give a man for doing what he feels in his with his heart that's right. So with that, I certainly hope he does call in. If not, I'm going to call him while I'm on air. But to that end, let's get this party started. I mean, holler on that. And let's get this show underway. And how I'm going to get it underway, y'all, is by I'll have to bypass this morning's devotional because it didn't resonate like it normally does. So that's another reason why I'm going with this hip hop, because it's been on my mind a lot the last couple of days. Also trying to deal with all that's going on in the world and the chief getting all of this information. I'm going to hold off on calling him because, as you all already know, and I've said it a million times, when I decided to go on Twitter, my first Twitter person was Chief Brown. So, and I admire him for all of his endeavors, his actions, and I congratulate him on taking such a challenging stand on what happened in Dallas. So, with that being said, one more time, we're going to get this underway. And, well, you know, since I have been running it upon my thoughts, my belief, and my preferences, I don't see why nothing should change. Y'all don't hear me, but you will in a minute. Because you know, Uncle Billy is getting his music set up slowly but surely. Everything is falling into place. And right now, I'm going to get a couple of tracks off of my channel. Yes, Uncle Billy Live, y'all. Uncle Billy Live. And I'm getting some great recommendations already. And I think we'll start off tonight's show with a little gospel music. Just to get started.
Somebody, it may not look good, but God will make it work for your good.
but I'm not anybody. You're looking at somebody that has went through hard trials and tribulations, but still I made it. If I was just anybody, but I'm not just anybody, I'm somebody that the Lord touched. If I was just anybody, but I'm not anybody, I'm somebody that the Lord filled with the Holy Ghost. It's all good. If I was just anybody,
uniting to make leaps and bounds in the music and sports industries. LeBron James designed his basketball team. He went to Miami, designed his team, brought aboard Chris Bosh and a few other folk, and didn't win the first year. He come close, but the Mavericks knocked him out the box. You know, stuff like that, and, you know, stuff happened. But after they started winning, I think he won it 3 times in succession. Hadn't been done in a long while. Had been in the playoffs every year he's played almost. But when he goes into it, the plan is build this team from the ground up. He did it when he went back to Cleveland. Told his bosses and stuff, which he really didn't have one. He just gave them the people an idea of what he wanted, what he needed. And when he requested it, he got it. He made some moves simply because the media said make them, you know. Like giving up that young guy to Minnesota for Love and going through the problems he did with that and everything. Love getting hurt and the young boy Kyrie Irving getting hurt. I don't know that much about the basketball game anymore because, you know, too many adventures and stuff was going on at one time. And the Mavericks gave up their whole team after winning the championship, so I really didn't like that. But anyhow, back to the future. And so people are now beginning to design their workforces, especially in the social media industry, which now cast a whole lot of new lights on how it's done. So, back to the show. New generation hip-hop players are second to no one as far as planning and uniting goals. They have the flexibility to say without boast, hey, y'all, we can handle it. We can handle that. And then all together, they get the job done. I've seen a host of clubs and things popping up. And they belong to these strong young brothers that know what they want, know what they want to do, and they're not satisfied by the second, third class bills that sometimes come out. So they kick it all over and start all over again. But they briefly discuss the negativity and go to work. You don't see it. I don't see it. Well, I see a lot of the developments now. But beforehand, shit, I thought it was just another party in the daytime. People go in dressed with shorts on and all, you know. That was the major part of the evolution. Being comfortable with the skin you're in, being comfortable with everything. So it's really coming together, but it's too concealed for everyone to be happy about it because here's the bottom line. Call in with your thoughts and opinions because you're not going to like this part. So call in to 323-870-3963. Uncle Billy can't explain it, but the question is, how are the hip-hop generations getting all of this done, and yet they are still having fun? Done and fun, rhyming like old. All right. Then it's party time. I mean, holler my way. But as long as you realize that the questions are being asked, but we can't really get an answer because it's still evolving. The time frame hasn't been set, but you know, with clubs and things, there is no set limit because a club's life is only good as it gets the night it opens up. Then after, it's all an illusion because if it fills up week after week after week, it's actually doing its job and more. It's got people working. It's working, but corporate America don't consider it as a enhancement to society. So, you know, that's one other man's opinion, as always. But I submit to you that most of the offices in corporate America are slowly doing some of the same thing. They're letting the youngsters, y'all know I don't like that M word, they're letting the youngsters be themselves. I just saw a show last week with dogs on it at work. And one owner said, well, it allows me to bring my dog to work. So, and this was the owner. After bending the rules and everything and letting the dogs come in, thoughtfully for someone else, he decided to bring his dog. Yeah. He probably thought it up. He really wasn't my age, so that, you know, that left him a lot of room. But irregardless of the reason, it is the season for the youngsters to come in with their short pants on, with these marvelous ideas about the feasibility of getting it done in record time and with record savings. And that's what growth is about, remember. So with that being said, I'm going to let y'all hear this other guy, as I did the first time. It's anonymous. So to those who know and those who don't, the crowd is upon you. So, listen in, and you tell me, here's where I am. Start with this one. It relates. gonna have to do that differently. Okay, we're gonna start over.
Why do you?
You yours is not over with, brother. See what I'm saying? The folk you were able to reach because of who you were then is the same folk you need to try to reach because of who you are now. Y'all will catch that in a minute. Y'all, by the time y'all really catch that one, y'all be doing something else. And then this is what I wanted to entertain was the idea of the evolution becoming more of a revolution. But I was going to change the name of something here and there, but then I talked with my son, who's, yes, a younger version of me. Gave me quite a few good pointers there and how to try and maintain my relationship with my little nephews and some of who he's never met. And they're like first cousin, second cousin or something like that. But, and they're about pretty close to the same age. But he was going up one track and down another, and they were doing the same. And so right now I'm trying to get it to where they can meet in the middle. And so with that being said, if they both come on tonight's show, I'm going to introduce them tonight. And that's my expectation. Probably won't get there because, you know, both of them are real busy. Both of them have shows to do tonight and other things to do. And I guess I'm the old man just impeding their progress. Eventually they're going to meet. But I like to make it at best time, which is for me right now, so that I can have a hand in the direction that the relationship might go in. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all can't even understand what I'm talking about, because y'all ain't never been there. But you got two sets of youngsters that's relative to one another, and they don't know each other, even though what they're doing is in a different field, it's soon to be a related field, because one has a lot to do with the other. You got a club, you want to get the word out. My son has a radio show and soon to be a TV show and a website for the visually impaired. Not only the visually impaired, but also the youngsters, because he has a music studio and the like. And it's not all just for the visually impaired. I'll get back to that later. But, so I would like to introduce the two at my convenience, because I don't know when this chance might come again. So now I'm fixing to get down to some of our other stuff, which is
you're listening to WHHS 98.1 FM with DJ Amar.
That's 70 music, y'all. 70s.
To
stop that one. We're going to stop that one. And what we're going to do is we're going to discuss, again, the evolution of the music. Because really, by the next break, I want to be up pretty close to the hip-hop music. So let's begin now by kind of discussing the music that brought up the ones in question tonight. We're talking about the smooth R&B mix. Y'all used to be called ballads and slow jam, you know. And I just played some from the 70s, and here comes some from the 80s, in the mid and the late 80s to the 90s. That's led to some of our most famous DJs.
I'm on my head.
Baby making songs, y'all. Baby making songs.
Please forgive me, baby, and come home.
All right, all right. Let's not redevelop the evolution. I done got deep off into the music. I done let it play three more strokes. Golly. Cause guess what? That's my kind of music. Lord have mercy. For me to be sitting here and be able to say, that's my music. That's telling you a lot. That's telling you a lot. So when the youngsters was being developed along with the music that they now have developed, because that's what they heard while they were on their way out, little rap music, a little talking music, a little talking about what's happening now stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's no pretense in none of this. It grew with them, you know, the beat, the sound, and everything else. Because it was there, y'all. It was there. It was already there. So when they were first impregnated, that's what they was listening to. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Being, you know, maybe one day in your life you'll begin to understand a lot of reality is this was meant to be. But, you know, some people just can't take it because it works so good. It works so fine. Anytime you can see your own evolution, your growth in music and whatever else, it's a plus. It's an additive. It's just like getting a tiger in your tank. You know what I'm saying? So all you have to do is wake up and smell the flowers, the roses or the coffee or something that has a good aroma to it, because you got to leave the negative alone. It's no longer working. The fear tactics and the intimidation, it don't work no more. People are beginning to see through it, and they're going to do something about it. And growth is what eventuality is. Holla. So, I can see right now this is not going to be a full-blown show because I'm not getting any assistance by someone calling in and saying, Uncle Billy, I'll do the interview with you, you know. And that's the only thing I really don't understand about some people. You give them the platform that they've been reaching out for, that they've been crying out for, and then they don't deliver. So, you know, it's just another one of them things. But, you know, growth is mandatory. Because if you stay still in one spot too long, you're going to decay. Y'all will catch that in a minute. But you better catch it real soon. Because I will not sit here and decay over nothing because of lack of effort from somebody else. So I'm going to get on with what I had planned for next. And Lord have mercy, the scales are getting humongous over here. Let me try this. Lord have mercy, it's getting so good over here when you look at the
You're chart. Listening to 103.5 FM with DJ Amar.
See, the jam started picking up, you know. That while ago was in the 80s, this is in the 90s, y'all. Thank you. y'all, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it all back home. And we're going to put it on the fast track. Like I said, people become upset and let's do some of this. That's what I'm singing right now. That's what I'm singing right now.
Sometimes when I'm high, I just don't want to talk to them. I'm a baby. Sam a great singer, he was a hit songwriter. Sam had 29 consecutive top 40 hits between 1957 and 1964. From the hit songs You Send Me, which was number one in both the U.S. pop and R&B charts, to Wonderful World, Chain Gang, Twisting the Night Away, Change Gon' Come, and Bring It On Home to Me, and many more. One day at a barbershop in Los Angeles, Fats Domino thought Sam was crazy when he asked him if he ever thought about owning his own music, copyright, and catalog. Sam Cooke started his own recording company, Tracy LTD, named after his daughter, which would manufacture and package his recordings. Now let's get into a section I call Personality and Background. Sam Cooke learned a lot about black history from Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. Sam would purchase black history books and pass it out to black kids in the neighborhood. Sam would stop in the hood and break up fights. Sam had a big heart and didn't forget where he came from. Sam got around and had a lot of women and ran through many church girls. Now let's talk about the official story of how Sam Cooke died. All right, so let's take a look at the official story of Sam Cooke's death. Sam Cooke died at the age of 33 on December the 11th, 1964, at the Hacienda Motel at 9137 South Figueroa Street in Los Angeles, California. Answering separate reports of a shooting and a kidnapping at the motel, police found Cooke's body, clad only in a sports jacket and shoes, but no shirt, pants, or underwear. He had sustained a gunshot wound to the chest, which was later determined to have pierced his heart. The motel's manager, Bertha Franklin, said she had shot Cooke in self-defense after he broke into her office residence and attacked her. Her account was immediately questioned and disputed by friends and acquaintances. The official police records state that Franklin fatally shot Cooke, who had checked in earlier that evening. Franklin claimed that Cooke had broken into the manager's office apartment in a rage, wearing nothing but a shoe and a sports coat, demanding to know the whereabouts of a woman who had accompanied him to the hotel. Franklin said the woman was not in the office and that she told Cooke this, but the enraged Cooke did not believe her and violently grabbed her, demanding again to know the woman's whereabouts. According to Franklin, she grappled with Cooke, the two of them fell to the floor, and she then got up and ran to retrieve her gun. She said she then fired at Cooke in self-defense because she feared for her life. Cooke was struck once in the torso, according to Franklin. He exclaimed, "Lady, you shot me," before mounting a last charge at her. She said she beat him over the head with a broomstick before he finally fell, mortally wounded by the gunshot. The motel's manager, Evelyn Carr, claimed that she had been on the telephone with Franklin at the time of the incident. Carr claimed to have overheard Cooke's intrusion and the ensuing conflict and gunshot. She called the police to request that officers go to the motel, telling them she believed the shooting had occurred. A coroner's inquest was convened to investigate the incident. The woman who had accompanied Cooke to the motel was identified as Alicia Boyer, who had also called police that night shortly before Carr had. Boyer had called from the telephone booth near the hotel, telling them she had just escaped being kidnapped. Boyer told the police that she had first met Cooke early that night and had spent the evening in his company. She claimed that after they left the local nightclub together, she had repeatedly requested that he take her home, but he instead took her against her will to the Hacienda Motel. She claimed that once in one of the motel's rooms, Cooke physically forced her onto the bed and that she was certain he was going to rape her. According to Boyer, when Cooke stepped into the bathroom for a moment, she quickly grabbed her clothes and ran from the room. She claimed that in her haste, she also scooped up most of Cooke's clothing by mistake. She said she ran first to the manager's office and knocked on the door seeking help. However, she said the manager took too long in responding, so fearing Cooke would soon be coming after her, she fled from the motel before the manager ever opened the door. She said she then put her clothing back on, hid Cooke's clothing, went to the telephone booth, and called police. Boyer's story is the only account of what happened between her and Cooke that night. However, her story has long been called into question. Inconsistencies between her version of events and details reported by other witnesses, as well as circumstantial evidence, suggest that Boyer may have gone willingly to the motel with Cook and then slipped out of the room with his clothing in order to rob him rather than escape an attempted rape. However, questions about Boyer's role were beyond the scope of the inquest, the purpose of which was only to establish the circumstances of Franklin's role in the shooting. Boyer's leaving the motel room with almost all of Cook's clothing and the fact that Tess showed Cook was inebriated at the time provided a plausible explanation to the inquest jurors of Cook's bizarre behavior and state of dress. In addition, because Carr's testimony corroborated Franklin's version of events, and because both Boyer and Franklin later passed lie detector tests, the coroner's jury ultimately accepted Franklin's explanation and returned a verdict of justifiable homicide. With that verdict, authorities officially closed the case of Cook's death. Some of Cook's family and supporters, however, have rejected Boyer's version of events, as well as those given by Franklin and Carr. They believe that there was a conspiracy to murder Cook and that the murder took place in some manner entirely different from the three official accounts. Singer Etta James viewed Cook's body before his funeral and questioned the accuracy of the official version of events. She wrote that the injuries she observed were well beyond the official account of Cook having fought Franklin alone. James wrote that Cook was so badly beaten that his head was nearly separated from his shoulders. His hands were broken and crushed, and his nose mangled. Some people speculated that Cook's manager, Alan Klein, might have had a role in his death. Alan owned Tracy LTD, which ultimately owned all the rights of Cook's recordings. All right.
Well, you all, because of sudden and austere reasons for tonight's show, I don't have any guests by this time. It's, you know, it's time to say goodnight. Usually I give it a little more time, but after listening to some old music and some new music, I would still like to applaud the hip-hop, the new generation, and I will say this, that they are moving at a quicker pace than any other has in the recent past, and I believe that they are going to bring about a wonderful change. And so, given this opportunity again, I will do the same thing. I will schedule them, but at their own pace, and let them say when the show is due, like I'm doing to everybody else. With that being said,
Barbara was unloyal and claimed she was upset.
Good night, sweetheart. It's time to go. Let me see if I can run that one up, y'all. Let me see if I can run that up.
Alan Klein as his manager, and Alan had secured a contract with RCA. Sam asked Alan to set up the company Tracy LTD, named after his daughter, for him, and Alan took the money and set himself up as the owner. Sam made his friend J.W. Alexander a business partner, but J.W. Alexander didn't have his best interests at heart. In the company Tracy LTD, Sam Cook was the president.
Well, with that being said, y'all, it's time to go. I got to go. It's getting better and better.
Physical
so,
box and plop.
Good night.
Said,